Malachim Aleph Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Veistav Shlomo Sabayis Mitnimo Zohav Sagur. So Shlomo covered the inner part of the Beis Hamikdash. He covered it with gold. We said Zohav Sagur. We mentioned, but the reason why it's called Zohav Sagur, Sagur comes from the word. It means closed. It means at any time. I think you mentioned that it's pure, the purest type of gold, right? Any time this kind of gold was sold at the market, all the other stores selling gold had to close down because they couldn't compete with the purity of this gold. Right, and he went all the way to the Dvir. The Dvir is the Kodesh HaKodashim. And he covered that with gold as well. Yeah. Rutukis means like kind of like chains kind of thing. That's what the Radak explains. He covered the whole thing with gold. He covered even the floor with gold. I don't know. I think you asked me, Eric, when he walked on. We were walking on gold. So I'm saying you have to remember that the kohanim were barefoot.
Barefoot, yeah.
Right.
So you're not going to wear, you know, scratch it or anything.
Right, right. You're not going to wear, you know, like hiking shoes.
But they wear barefoot.
Barefoot, totally barefoot. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is talking about the Mizbeach, which is in front of the Dvir. This is Mizbeach HaKetoiros, the Mizbeach that had the incense on it. Right, that's what he covered in gold. Right, when the Mizbeach that had the Karbonis was outside. Okay, let's get the picture again. You can see it again. Let's see it inside. Oh, here we go. Look at that. Here's a colored one. So here, so we got Mizbech Chitzoin. This is where the Karbonis was. They would mark the Karbonis over here.
Yeah.
Right? All B'nai Yisrael were allowed in here, in this area. This is all open area. Right? The B'nai Yisrael were allowed to come in here. They were not allowed to come into the Heichal. The Heichal was only Kohanim were allowed in here. Right? Over here you got the Mizbech HaKetoiros, the incense. You have the Menorah over here. You have the Shulchan. Lechem Aponim, right? The bread that would not that would stay warm.
Is this from the Mishkan?
No. I know, but it
was the Lechem Aponim from the Mishkan?
Yeah. They had all the Kalim in the Mishkan as well. The Kalim were in the Mishkan.
He built other menorahs. Shlomo HaMelech made additional menorahs.
Right, that's true. In fact, the menorah, you see, if you go to Rome, right, go to Italy ever. Richard, but he was just in Italy. Right, the picture of the Titus, right, the gate, right, where he walked through, and you see them carrying the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Right, you see a menorah over there. It's not the real menorah. It was a substitute. Anytime the real menorah had to be cleaned or serviced or whatever it was, they would take away the real menorah. They would put this menorah, the substitute. They had a few. I think they had about 10. I think I don't remember the exact number, but they had quite a few substitutes menorahs that they would put in instead. The menorah that's designed on that arch, on that gate, is the substitute. It's not the real menorah. It's not the real one. The real menorah is hidden. It's hidden
from the first base of Mikdash.
Yeah, it's hidden. So in any case, so the Mizbeach that we're talking about over here is the Mizbeach HaKetoiros, the incense. Right? That's the one over here. Right here in the middle. Yeah?
I'm sorry.
That was...
this was the first base of Mikdash.
Right.
All
right. Right, right. Yeah, so this was covered in gold.
Wasn't that a thing with 12...
Yeah. Yeah, this is Lechem HaPanim. This is one over here.
I'm sorry. I was thinking the second base of Mikdash. Didn't have... the Oren wasn't the...
Underneath the gold, what's the composition?
Wood.
And what about on the
Korbanos? The Korbanos? That's a good question. I don't know what that was made out of.
It was made out of wood.
No,
covered with gold.
No, he's talking about the Mizbech with up for the Korbanos. What was that made out of? That's a good question.
What?
I don't know. It could be made out of
this
earth.
Is Moshe's...
Moshe's what?
I presume it came from the... And they were in the Midbar.
What, the Mizbeach?
Yeah. No.
It wasn't the same one.
No,
I don't know. It's a good question. I'll look into that. Hopefully, I'll bring a picture next week. Okay. Vayas pasuk chav gimel. Vayas b'dvir shnei kruvim atzei shomen eser amois kumasai. Right. And here we've got the kruvim. Kruvim were inside the kodesh hakodashim, right inside here. Yeah. And they were made out of atzei shomen. Atzei shomen are olive trees. So the Radak is bothered. Why would you use fruit trees if you can use other trees, right? Why use fruit trees? You can use the trees for fruit, right? It seems like a waste.
You're not supposed to, ruin fruit trees. Well, here he says he used trees that were old already and they weren't bearing fruit anymore.
Yeah. That's exactly what he answers. The answer is that we're talking about old olive trees that were not able to grow fruit anymore, right? And so too with the Atzei Ma'arocha, the wood they used to use to burn the karbonis. They were also made out of Atzei Teina and Atzei Dekel. They were made out of fig trees and date trees. Those two were made out of trees that could not bear fruit because they were very old. So even though they were fruit trees, apparently I guess fruit trees are better to use because they burn better, whatever it is. That's when they had to bring it from fruit trees, but they made sure to bring it from trees that were not bringing any more fruit. There's another pshat that he brings over here, that when it says atzei shomen means oil, right? So the simple understanding is that it's talking about olives, right? Because that's where olives, olives bring forth oil, right? But he says another pshat that it's really, there's a type of erez. Erez is, I think, cedar, right? Yeah, erez is cedar, type of cedar tree. That has some kind of oil or something that comes from it. They make tar out of.
He says it's stuff they make fumes and spices out of.
Fumes and spices. Right.
Cedar has its own aroma.
Another way.
Yeah, but is there any kind of
balsam
oil or some kind of substance that comes out of the tree
that you use for
tar?
If you have perfume, it was cedar. Could have been, like you have a cedar closet that has an odor to it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he's not referring to the odor. He's referring to this substance, this oil or something that would come out of it that you can get out of the tree.
That makes sense. The oil and the aroma would probably go together.
Even a pine tree, it weeps sap that's will burn, I think.
But cedar has nuts usually make, from any nuts you can make any oil. That's a raw fat, that's right.
Even coconut, even a palm tree will give you, they take oil out of the coconuts. It's coconut oil.
Right. Yeah, but that's the fruit. We're talking about the actual tree. According to the second shot, we're not referring to a tree that bear fruit. It was really a tree that was barren, did not bear any fruit. It was some kind of cedar tree. But the tree itself, the bark of the tree, you were able to produce some kind of oil or something. And that's why it's called Atzei Shemen, oil trees.
Well, it says manufacturing a few perfume and spices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he said that they used to use the
species of woods containing oils and manufacture of perfumes and spices.
Cedar.
But he says they used to use this oil to make tar.
Cedar produces oil which doesn't let it rot. That's what he used for shingles. But there's so many types of cedar. You know, it's like...
Right.
How many kinds of grass are there?
I don't know.
Millions, you know, the wheat is grass.
Right.
Actually, you know, there's so many different things that it just, you know, we don't know it exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, in any case.
Whatever.
That's the kind of tree that I use. Either used really old olive trees, or this kind of cedar tree that was, that brought out this oil. Next, pasuk, v'chamesh almos kanaf akrufa achas, v'chamesh alfais almos kanaf akrufa shenis, esar almos miktsois kanafav, v'atksois kanafav. Right, so you have the kruvim. Right, the kruvim were basically the shape of malachim, or of babies, whatever, it's a machlokes, and they had these wings, right? Each wing was five amas long.
Were they the shape of a human baby?
Yeah, human baby, yeah.
The face of it.
Yeah, the face. Each one had a wing. It was opened up. Each wing was five amos long, right? So the way they put them, one on the side of the other. So the edge of one wing would touch the edge of the other wing, right? Of the next groove. So if you make a cheshbon, right? Five, there were four wings altogether, right? Each one had two, and there were two groovy. So there were four wings altogether. Each wing was five amos long. What does that bring us to?
20
amas. So, and how wide, right? The Kodesh Kodashim was 20 by 20, right? So what's the problem?
There's no room.
There's no room, right? There's no room for the body of the kruv. If if all the wings take up 10 amas, 5 and 5, right? So there's no room for the body. They would go across the whole thing. So the Mefarshim say it was Bederech Neis, it was one of the Nisim that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that the body itself of the Kruvim did not take up any space. Only the wings. Only the wings took up space. That was one of the Nisim. There's a list of 10 Nisim that occurred in the first Beis HaMikdash and did not occur in the second Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. One of them was that the Lechem HaPanim stayed warm for the whole week. Stayed warm as if it just freshly came out of the oven. And it also would, if a person would eat a tiny little piece, it would fill him up as if he ate a full meal. He was satisfied.
What was the significance of the Kruvim?
It says that the Dibur...
The wings would... touch each other.
It would face each other.
Face each other,
yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah, one was a male figure, one was a female, right?
Right. It's an analogy, it's a metaphor, I guess, to the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. So if the relationship was going well, they had a good relationship, then it would face each other. But if they didn't...
Well, they said that if the people were worthy, they would... hug each other, like, and if they weren't, they didn't.
Right, exactly. yeah, so let's see the next pasuk. Ve'aser ba'ama kruv asheni, mido achas v'kesef echad v'shne kruvim, right? So the second kruv was also 10 amas. They were the same exact measurement. Koymas akruv echad aser ba'ama, it was 10 amas high. First crew, the second crew also was 10 amas high. Ve'itan ha-sakruvim b'toich ha-bayis ha-pnimi, they put them in the bayis ha-pnimi, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ve'ifrasu is k'kalvi ha-kruvim, v'tiga k'naf ha-echad b'kir, u'knaf ha-kruv ha-shini, nogas b'kir ha-shini, right? The edge of one wing would touch the wall, and the edge of the other wing would touch the wall too. U'knafeim b'toich ha-bayis, noigois k'naf el-konof. And their as we mentioned before, their wings would touch each other. Vaitzaf es akruvim zahav. The akruvim themselves were covered with gold. Again, they were made out of wood, and they were covered with gold. Yeah. Let's see. Vaiter pasuk chavtes. Yeah. Now it's interesting. The Malbim explains that the way they built the Kruvim, I don't know how they did this, but they built them in a way where they can open up and they can close again. Right? They weren't stuck in that position. They could have closed the Kruvim as well. They did it in a way where they can fold. That way. Right, just like chicken wings, right?
But not the Kruvim on the Aron. That was a miracle.
What?
But not the Kruvim on the Aron.
What do you mean? Which Kruvim?
They weren't on hinges. Or
right. But that way, if they wanted to move them, like how would they put them in, right? They made them in a way where they can open up and close them. So they would bring them in, they would be closed. And then once they were in the room, they would open them up, and they were spread like that. And they would touch each other, and they would cover the whole room. Pasuk Chavtes. Pasuk Chavtes. That's Kol. Kiras Abayis. Mesav kola pituchim klois kruvim v'timreis pituri tzitzim milifnim velachitzain. Right. So you mentioned that the whole walls had all these different carvings of different shapes of trees and all these designs, and he covered them with gold, but he did it in a way where the gold would be the same shape as the design. So the way it was carved into the wood, the design was carved into the wood, but then he would cover it with gold, and the gold itself would take the shape of the design. Therefore, that way you would be able to see the design as well. It wasn't just it wouldn't cover up the design because you want to be able to see the design. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
But what is design? Design.
The way I picture it, he covered the whatever they did. It was sticking there.
The wood was carved out.
And it was carved out. Then he took the gold, whatever soft gold, and put it over it. So it should take the shape of the thing.
Right, but I'm saying the point is that you did a very thin layer. It wasn't a thick layer that completely over.
Yeah, but still be the shape of what it's covering.
No, if it was a thick enough layer, it would completely cover it up because it was so thick. But it was a very, very thin layer. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. But that's the point, that he did a thin layer, not a thick layer.
But this is design different trees on the wall?
Yeah, on the wall, yeah. But it was carved into the wood.
But what's before, above your... I remember they said this everything was covered by gold.
Right.
But how
thick were the walls?
This picture made on the wood or gold?
The picture was made out of wood.
If wood
it was carved into the wood, then onto the carving he would put a thin layer of gold.
It means at first carving, after that,
yes.
Covered by gold. To keep the same carving.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You take a piece of, you make a carving, you take a piece of aluminum foil, and you put it, you push it all in, carve it in, so it looks the same.
for example, can cover something like that. Yeah. You don't see anything inside.
Right.
But this is...
Right.
How thick it was, it doesn't make any difference. Could be thick.
He says here, that the cherubim and the sanctuary walls were embossed, whereas those of the temple walls were engraved. What is the difference? What is embossed and what is engraved?
Engraved is you're pushing it and you might be carving out the...
What is embossed meant then? How do you emboss something? I don't understand that.
Basically the...
You what?
It must be different.
Basically the same.
Same thing?
He wants... Mm. There's two words they use. An engraved... You engrave something you carve into it.
Yeah, right. Embossed.
Embossed means you
punch into it. Punch into it.
You punched it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a coin is... A coin is embossed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You stamp it.
Oh, it's...
Engraver, you do it with a tool.
Okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm. So it was engraved, because they used to carve part of the wood out. They weren't just like stamp it, you know.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't punch it in. No. It wasn't a stamp. Yeah, they would actually carve it out. Yeah, so I don't know why they brought that word.
When the movie comes out, you'll find out.
Or when the base of Mikdash Shlishi will be here. Then we can go ahead and look for ourselves.
All right.
Okay. So let's see next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed, Veskarka Abayis Tzipos Zav Lifnimo Belachitzain. We mentioned this already. He covered the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. He covered with gold, both on the inside and on the outside.
So,
meaning, both the Kodesh Kodashim and the Heichal. Vespesach advir also dalsois atzi shamen ha'ayil mezuzas chamishis. The entrance of the Kodesh Kodashim were made out of doors. They were again
made of olive wood.
Olive wood, yes.
And the lintel on
the entrance of the inner sanctum. These were curtains. Where were these doors?
So let's see, where were these doors exactly? So the Malbim says there were four doors for the Kodesh Kodashim. There were four doors to the Heichal. Right?
There were two
sets of doors. There were inner doors and there were outer doors. So the outer doors would open up into the... So we're talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the outer doors would open up into the Heichal.
Nah.
Right?
I thought these were curtains.
Yeah, but these curtains seems like it was behind these doors.
Press the gold over the thing. Entrances.
Right, and the inner doors would open into the Heichal, and the back of the inner doors was not covered in gold, because
how much space was it between like a little hallway?
I don't know. Yeah, seems like a little hallway between
the, yeah. How much space was it between?
It was an amma.
Anama.
The Kohen Gadol had to walk between them.
Yeah,
you open up the first door. Yeah, so
right.
That's one arm to open up. You had a door this way, the other one door the other way.
So the outer doors were fully covered in gold,
uh-huh.
Right? Because you would be able to see both sides, right? If they're closed, you can see the outside, and then once they open, you're able to see the inside. But the inner doors, they would open into the Kodesh HaKadoshim,
right. So
only the outside part was covered in gold. But the inside, since it would open into the Kodesh HaKadoshim,
right.
There's no need to cover it with gold.
Because you don't see it.
Right, because you're never going to see it, right?
The only people are going to see it is the Kohen Gadol.
No, even the Kohen Gadol is not going to see it.
The Kohanim.
No, even the Kohen Gadol is not going to see it, because when he walks in and he opens up the inner doors, he pushes them in, right? So they're against this wall and against this wall.
All
right. Yeah, the door opens like this. You can't see this part.
Right. So when it's closed, you only see the front. The front is covered in gold. But he opens it. The back is against the wall.
Yeah.
Right? So the back is against the wall. He's never going to see. Yeah. He's never going to see the back.
So I guess he don't close the door. He goes in, does what he has to do. And when he leaves, I guess they close the door afterwards.
Right.
But he'll never see the other side of it, because he's going to pull it this way.
Exactly. Right.
But is there some reason why he shouldn't see the inside?
No, there's no reason, but just the way it was designed was in a way where he's never going to see it. Okay. So, the Torah chasam amoinim shal Yisrael. The Torah, the Torah's not going to just waste money for no reason.
You can't take a peek.
Right. No, you can't take a peek. Right.
He opens up and says, leave the door alone.
Your job is to
go inside and do what you do. When you finish, you walk out.
Yeah.
Close the door, you don't look around.
What is called Dever?
The Dever is this part, the Kodesh HaKodashim.
It's called Dever.
Yeah, this is 20 on by 20. And this is called the Dever. The reason it's called the Dever, Dever comes from the word speech, speaking. It's because it's referring to the fact that the speech of Hashem, the speaking of Hashem, came out from the Kodesh HaKadashim, from the Holy of Holies. It says it used to come out from between the Kruvim. That's where it came out from. That's why it's called the Dvir, which means speech or speaking. Mm-hmm. That's where the word comes from.
There was a question about seed of whether it produced oil.
Yeah.
It's in the pine family.
In the pine family.
And pine does produce an oil that can be burned.
Really? Interesting.
It's pine. Cedar is pine. It's related to pine.
Pine tree, yeah. It's a needle, tree that goes with needles. And
it's in the pine family.
Family, right.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
I have so many different.
Yes, where were we? Okay, so Pasuk Lamed Beis. Ushteid losis ati shemen, v'kola ale, miklois kruvim, v'timrois, v'timayrois, upturi tzitzim, v'tzipas zahav. Right, we're talking about the doors to the heichal were also made out of oil trees, olive trees. And he would have all these different
designs
in them, like we explained before, and he covered them with gold. He covered them with gold as well. Right now, it's interesting. It seems like these doors had an interesting shape. They had five different. It was kind of like the Pentagon.
Six.
Pentagon
is five, I'm sorry.
Yeah, five. Five different
sides
to it. Not sure exactly how it was shaped, but they were shaped kind of like the Pentagon, on five different sides. But these doors, the doors of the Heichal, had only four sides to them. And these doors were made out of the Heichal had two sets of doors. It had the inner doors that were made out of Atzi Shomen, that had four sides to them, and the outside doors were made out of Atzi Bereshim. The Kala Kruvim with Timoyrois. And again, you cover them with gold in a way where you're still able to see the carvings.
What door were made from cypress?
Oh no, that was the wood that was.
No, but there is what door were made from olive trees, and another two doors were made from cypress.
Yeah. Asi Bereshit. That was to the Heichal. That was over here.
This is not from oil.
Right. Yeah. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ve'even Esachotar Apnimis Shleisha Turi Gozis V'Tur Krusais Arozim. Right. Now we built the Chotar Apnimis made of Tur Shleisha Turi Gozis. It was three parts was made out of guzis, and one part was made out of arazim. That was this part, kind of like the hallway. Yeah, this is called the chatzar pnimis, the inner chamber, inner room. Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can finish the parak. Bashana Ravis Yusad Beis Hashem Beyerach Ziv. The fourth year, right, they finished building the Beis Hamikdash, Yerach Ziv, which was the year. B'shara Achas, Achatasre, B'yerach Bul, which is Mar Cheshvan, Wachodesh HaChemishi, the eighth month. Koma Abayis Echol Dvarav, L'chol Mishpato. V'yivneyu Sheva Shanim. It took them 7 years to build. Now, the reason why Mar Cheshvan is called Yerach Bul, Chazal say that every single year, the Mabul was the flood was brought during Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. So every single year since the Mabul, it says that the world was again threatened. It had the danger, the potential for Mabul to come again. And Mabul to come again. But once Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, that threat was over. There was no longer any threat that the Mabul would come again. There would be no more flood. And that was all in the merit of Beis HaMikdash. So, just we have another minute. We'll
the Mabul come again. I thought we got a promise.
Right. But,
there's no threat. You got a promise.
Yeah. But it seems like, I don't know, there was some kind of, because it came during that time, that's why there was some kind of threat. I don't know, obviously it wasn't, I don't know if it was going to come, specifically, but, okay. Who was that possibility?
I think
which is interesting.
In Yerushalayim, during the Mabul from Noah, didn't touch Yerushalayim.
Oh, so?
Yeah?
Could be. That's what I learned. This is many years ago, but
what was that?
That the Mabul didn't cover Yerushalayim.
Interesting. What are you going to say?
No, that's why they
didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See what I did?
Okay.
So it seems that Solomon he didn't start building right away. He was in the fourth year of his kingdom.
Yeah,
what
it
was
took
he
him
doing
7 years.
What was he doing before that?
He was busy taking care of his enemy.
No, but was he collecting stuff? I mean, and then he started the building, or did he?
No. The whole process from beginning to end took 7 years.
Yeah,
first 4 years he was just establishing his.
It took him 7 years.
Yeah.
Like from 4 to 11.
Yeah.
All right, so what is
7 years.
Okay.
He was playing ball. He was a kid.
How come he didn't do it right away? I mean, there's got to be a reason.
Okay, we'll see.